Okay, so what you have to know from Mishnah Zayin is that there are two major things we have to be worried about whenever you're fashioning things for Avodah Zarah. Number one is the Avodah Zarah itself, and number two is Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, the things that are meant to serve the Avodah Zarah, not in sense of worship, but in terms of serving as an accessory for an Avodah Zarah. And there's a major difference between the Avodah Zarah itself and an accessory for an Avodah Zarah. The Avodah Zarah itself, the minute that it's finished being made, is asur b'ana. It's prohibited to have any benefit from it, even before it's worshipped. Once it's finished being made by the craftsman or whoever it is who's making it, it's asur b'ana. As opposed to tashmishi Avodah Zarah, or what's as mishamshi Avodah Zarah, things that serve as an accessory to the Avodah Zarah, those things become asur only once they're utilized for the Avodah Zarah. But before then, they're not asur b'ana. So in other words, as soon as you finish making them, they're not asur b'ana. They have to be utilized for the Avodah Zarah. So now, Mishnah is going to give us the three major categories of things that we have to talk about. At what point does something become asur b'ana? At what point does something attain the status as Avodah Zarah, such that when it's being fashioned by a guy, let's say, that it's going to be asur b'ana as soon as it's made? So Mishnah tells us, Shlosha Batmim, there are three houses. In other words, there are three kinds of houses that we can be done with. So there are three categories that the Mishnah is going to overall talk about. We're going to talk about houses, we're going to talk about stones being made for Avodah Zarah, and we're going to talk about Asherah trees. So now the first category is houses. And when we talk about houses, we're going to break that down into three cases. So Shlosha Batmim, there can be three kinds of houses that can be made when we're talking about the Isser of Avodah Zarah. Number one, but when we talk about the house, Bayis Shebanu Mitchila Avodah Zarah, a house that was built originally for Avodah Zarah. Now, with the simple understanding of the Mishnah that we're going to be using is that the house itself, it's not housing in Avodah Zarah. That's not why it's being built. This structure is being built to serve as the Avodah Zarah. The people are going to be worshipping it. So a house that was built originally for Avodah Zarah, Hariza Asur, behold, this is Asur. In other words, the house becomes Asur b'ana, prohibited to have any benefit from it, the second that it's finished being, the second that it's built. Okay, now, even before it's worshipped. Okay, now that's the first kind of house. The second kind of house that we could be talking about is, what about this? Siedo v'kiaro. If he, siedo is from the lashon, the shorosh here would be sid, right? Sid is plaster, and kiaro is, we know that in modern of it, l'chayer is to sculpt. So what this is actually, at least I think what the Mishnah is referring to, you know, if the Mishnah is referring very often in Masechet Avodah Zarah to things going on in Roman culture, is that we're talking about stucco decoration. If you look at, you know, old structures, old Roman structures, there's a lot of plaster decoration that's included in the building. At the ceilings of the building, the sides of the building, outside sometimes, inside sometimes. Either way, the sid is the plaster. Kiro is also to decorate, making these pictures in the plaster. So sid of a kiro, la Avodah Zarah. So in other words, if let's say you have a guy who bought a great big building and he didn't figure out what he wanted to use it for yet. And then he thinks to himself, you know what, I'm going to use this building for Avodah Zarah. So, but the building wasn't bought and made for Avodah Zarah. So what he does is he decorates it. He plasters it with this, you know, this plaster decoration, maybe the stucco decoration. And so once he does that, the chidish, and he originates in it. In other words, he is mechadish something in it. In this, maybe in the decorations, whatever it is, or it could be in some other thing. It doesn't have to be dafka, sid, you know, either the plastering, the stucco. It could be some other thing, some other decoration that he's adding to the structure. And he's doing that l'shem Avodah Zarah, thinking that I'm going to beautify this house, I'm adding in these decorations, so that the house could serve as an Avodah Zarah. So, not a mashachidosh, if the Jew shows up, if let's say the Goyim, let's say they built up this great big place, and they decorated it, and they were decorating it to make it into an Avodah Zarah, and then they pack up and they leave. Well, not a mashachidosh, the Jew can just take off whatever it was that the guy was mechadish, whatever he originated, whatever things he added on as decoration maybe to the house, and once he removes it, that's fine, then the house becomes mutter b'hana'ah. In other words, again, the case one is that the guy makes a house, and from the get-go, he makes the house l'shem Avodah Zarah. So that's asur b'ana, there's no two ways about it, even before it's worshipped. Case two is that a house is already built, and the guy adds in decoration to it. So the house becomes asur b'ana even before it's used for Avodah Zarah worship, but if the Jew removes that decoration from the house, then it's reverted to its original status as a non-avodah zarah house. Now, third kind of a house is hichnis l'socha avodah zarah. If he brought his avodah zarah into the house, in other words, let's say you have a guy who he has a great big room, a big house, and he brings his avodah zarah idols, let's say, into the house, and he's not planning on using the house for avodah zarah worship, but he brings it in there, votzia, and then the guy takes out the avodah zarah, or even if a Jew takes out the avodah zarah, hariz mutter. This house is now permitted bahana. It's permitted to have hana from that house. As long as the avodah zarah is in the house, that's a problem. You're not allowed to have any hana from the house. But once you remove the avodah zarah, then the house is much bahana. In other words, what's emerging here is that if a house is created, it's formed from the get-go, the shame avodah zarah, then the whole house, every molecule of the house is avodah zarah, and that's asr bahana. But if it's a house that was already existing, and either decorations were added or an avodah zarah was brought into the house, while those things are there, it's a problem. But once you take them off, then there's no problem anymore, as long as the house hadn't been worshipped yet. Okay, now, shalosh avanimim, there are three stones. In other words, there are three cases of stones which we should talk about. Number one is even shechatzava mitchila labimus. If you have a stone, shechatzava, chatzava is like, from a lashon, we have it sometimes in Shashav, as a lashon of digging. Here it's talking about stones that you dig from the mountain. In other words, the stone was hewn from the mountain. So, even shechatzava mitchila labimus, if you have a stone that was hewn, that this fellow hewed, that the guy hewed originally, labimus, to serve as a bimus. A bimus we talked about before. A bimus is some sort of a pedestal or platform that they used to set the avodah zarah on top of. Harezu asura. This stone is prohibited. In other words, again, even before the avodah zarah is put onto the stone is asur. Now, why? The answer is that, again, the simple understanding of the Mishnah is that the stone itself is not just an accessory. The stone was actually worshipped sometimes. And so when they have this stone that they basically hewed from the mountain for the purposes of avodah zarah, so then it's asur immediately. As soon as it's hewn from the mountain, that's going to be a problem. Now, siyada v'kira l'shem avodah zarah, if again, similar lashon of sid and kir, he plastered it, you know, he decorated it, l'shem avodah zarah. So again, what that means is that, let's say, he didn't make this stone from the get-go, he didn't hew this stone from the get-go for l'shem avodah zarah. He bought the stone, the guy bought the stone from Home Depot. Now he decides when he gets home that he's going to decorate it l'shem avodah zarah. So now, v'chidish, and he originates in it, or he originates something on it. Again, he decorates it in some way, maybe with something other than plaster, whatever it is. Notam ashechidish, if the Jew removes whatever it is that he originated, whatever the guy added onto the stone as decoration, l'shem avodah zarah, so then that's fine. That's all he has to do. Hamid aleha avodah zarah. So now this is the third case of stone, is that hamid aleha avodah zarah, if he stood up onto it, an avodah zarah. In other words, he erected an avodah zarah on top of this stone, this silka, and then he removed it from it, harezi mutaris, the stone is mutar. Again, this now, what we are going to assume, is that the stone itself, the guy erected in avodah zarah, he stood up on top of the stone in avodah zarah, and he stood up in avodah zarah for temporarily, not to actually serve in a permanent way as the official pedestal of this avodah zarah. So then, as soon as he removes the avodah zarah from it, then it's going to be permitted to have hana from it. Okay, now, shalosh asherisin, there are going to be three kinds of asheris that we have to talk about. So what are they? Elon, remember, the asherah tree, simply speaking, is the tree, is a tree that was worshipped as an avodah zarah. It's an avodah zarah tree. But we have to talk about at what point does the tree attain this status as an avodah zarah. So the Mishnah says, Elon shenital metchila l'shem avodah zarah. If you have a tree that he planted it from the get-go, originally, l'shem avodah zarah, having in mind that this should be for this specific avodah zarah, that he wants to use the tree as an avodah zarah. Harei za asr. Behold, this is prohibited. The tree becomes asr bahana immediately upon its being planted. Even before it's worshipped, it becomes asr. Now, case two of trees is gido upislo. Gido is from a lashon that he cut down. In other words, he cut down from its branches. Or pislo. Pislo is when a psolos, we know from Hilchos Borer and Shabbos, psolos is the undesired items that we have in a mixture, right? That's what we've talked about in the past. So when you have a mixture, like in Hilchos Bara, of ochlin and psolos, ochlin is the foods that the desirable food, and psolos is the undesirable food. So it's the shmutz in halacha, or the thing that is undesired here. And in this case, what we're talking about is the psolos of the tree, in other words, is referring to maybe dead branches or something. So the verb form over here, when we say upislo, it means he removed, right? He removed the dead twigs or the dead branches from the tree. In other words, he's pruning it. So gido upislo, if the guy pruned the tree, chopped down branches from the tree, l'shem avrazara, having in mind that now he's trying to refresh the tree for avrazara. In other words, he's pruning it in order so that it should be able to foster better growth of the tree, and now the tree is going to grow with these branches, and he wants to use the new developed tree as a vazara, the hechlef, and then the tree goes ahead and it produces. No, hechlef is from a lashon of lahechlef, is to change or to exchange. Like kinnan chalipin is an exchange of items, using a very specific kind of thing. But either way, it's from a lashon of exchange. So here we're saying when the tree exchanges, when it refreshes its branches, that's what we're talking about, right? When it changes up its branches, it refreshes them, it develops new branches. So notol masha hechlef. So all the Jew has to do is remove, take off whatever it changed over. In other words, whatever fresh branches grew, he just has to cut them off, and then that's fine. Then it's perfectly fine. Again, the similar idea is that the guy, because the tree from the get-go was not planted as an avodah zarah tree, it's just that the guy cut or pruned in such a way so that it would be able to, the newer branches could serve as the avodah zarah tree. Now, this is case three of Asherahs, is if he stood up under it in avodah zarah. In other words, if the guy erects underneath this Asherah tree in avodah zarah, ubitla, and then after some time, the guy literally levatel, is to cancel or to nullify. In other words, he annulled it. He canceled the avodah zarah. He no longer wants to worship this avodah zarah. And we'll talk about the Be'ezer Hashem a little later on in the Masechta, what it takes in order to cancel the statuses of an avodah zarah. But either way, once that happens, harezim mutter, behold, the tree is permitted. In other words, the tree wasn't worshipped. Nothing happened to the tree itself. It's just that beneath this tree, there is an avodah zarah set up. So as long as the avodah zarah is beneath the tree is asur bahana. Now, ezohi asherah, says the Mishnah, what exactly is an asherah? What's an asherah tree? Kol sheyish tachtah avodah zarah. Anything that has beneath it an avodah zarah. And the Gemara discusses exactly what the Mishnah is doing over here when it says, you know, that we're going to the Ezohi Asher, we were talking about three different kinds of Asher, so what are we talking about? So there's a little bit of a discussion what's going on here, but we don't have to go into that right now. So we're saying, Kol sheyishtach de'avodah zarah, anything that has beneath it in avodah zarah. In other words, even if the Asherah tree itself wasn't worshipped, as long as it has an avodah zarah underneath it, the tree itself is asher. That's a special halacha for Asherah trees. Now, Reb Shimon says, Kol she'ovdin osa, anything that they worship it, that is what is considered to be an Asherah. In other words, Rav Shimon disagrees with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama is saying as long as something is beneath the tree is Asur Bahana. It has the status of an Asherah tree. Rav Shimon says, no, that's not true. If they worship the tree itself, then that's considered to be an Asherah tree. But if the tree was never worshipped, they just have an Avodah Zarah beneath the tree, so then the tree is not an Avodah Zarah Asherah tree. Okay, now, Maisa B'Tzaidan, there was a story in Tzaidan. Tzaidan is the name of a place. B'Ilan Shahu Odenazal, with a tree that they used to worship. The Gaim used to worship this tree. Umatu Tachtav Gal, and they found beneath the tree a pile. A pile of what? Look, so we had it a few weeks ago in the Parsha. By Lavan, right? A gal is a pile over there. It's a pile of stones. It's a pile of stones or sand or something. Amar Lahen Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon said to them, to those fellows who came over to ask him about what's the story with this tree? Are we allowed to chop it down and use the wood for fire? Are we allowed to sell? You know, whatever they were asking, they wanted to know what's the status of the tree. Bidku es hagal hazeh. So Reb Shimon said to them, go bidku, like from Lashon of Bidika, to check. So check out this pile. In other words, check out it. Look into the pile of stones, of sand, whatever it is, and see what's in it. Ubidaku, and so they checked the pile. Umatu bo surah, and they found an image of an avodah zarah, you know, buried in this pile of stone or sand. Amar lahen, so Rav Shimon said to them, "Hol v'latzurahin ovdin, since they worship it for the tzura, right? Since it's that they're worshiping the image, not to lehenasa ha'ilan, we can permit to them the tree. In other words, Rav Shimon is exactly his opinion. This is, he's maintaining his position that if the tree itself is not worshipped, then there's no problem with the tree. If there's an avodah zara beneath the tree, so the avodah zara is what's aser, not the tree. And so since they found an avodah zara beneath this tree in this pile, so then the tree itself is going to be permitted. Okay, so what do we say here? What we said is that there are going to be three overall categories that we have to talk about for developing, for creating avodah zara: houses, stones, and trees. When we talk about houses, there can be three kinds of houses that we're talking about in Mishnah. Number one is a house that was built from the get-go as an avodah zara. That's going to be usher the minute that the house is built. Two is going to be a house that was decorated, or something was added onto the house, renovated in some way for the purposes of serving for an avodah zara. As long as you remove whatever renovations or whatever plaster was added, then it's fine. Third case of houses, if you bring an avodah zara into the house, brought an avodah zara into the house, as long as the avodah zara is in the house, then there's a problem with the house itself. But once they take the avodah zara out, then as long as it was brought in for temporary purposes, they weren't worshipping anything other than the avodah zara, then the house becomes mutter as soon as the avodah zara is removed. The second major category is the stones. So we said there's three cases of stones you should talk about. Number one is if you have a stone that it was hewn from the mountain for the purposes of serving as a pedestal to be worshipped itself, not just as a pedestal, not, in other words, not just the avodah zara on top of it is going to be worshipped, but even the pedestal itself is going to be worshipped. So then the minute that it's hewn from the mountain, it's usher. Second case is if the guy buys a stone from Home Depot and he decorates it, he renovates it, he adds something onto it, whatever it is, if he does that l'shem avodah zara, then as long as you remove the decoration, whatever is added, that's fine. Then the stone is much b'hana. The third case is if he erects an avodah zara on top of it, and not for permanent purposes. It's only for temporarily is what he's doing it for. And so the minute he takes off the avodah zara, the stone itself is mutter. Then the third category of the Mishnah is asherah trees. So we said there's three kinds of asherah trees that we have to talk about. The first one is if you have a tree that was planted originally l'shem avodah zara, it's usher the minute that it's planted. Second is if you have a guy who pruned the tree in order to promote growth, and that the newly developed tree, the newly developed branches are going to form this tree that's going to be worshipped. So as long as you remove those fresh branches, then the tree is going to be permitted. And the third case is if an avodah zara is erected beneath a tree, excuse me. So that's a machlokas tanaim. According to the Tanna Kamma, if there's an avodah zara beneath the tree, then the tree itself is going to be problematic. So if you remove the avodah zara from beneath the tree, then the tree is fine. Now Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says that no, that's not true. If there's an avodah zara underneath the tree, and the avodah zara is what they worship, then the avodah zara is the problem, not the tree. If they worship the tree, then the tree is a problem. In fact, there was a story where Rav Shimon maintained this position that he told them that there was a tree in question, and he said, go see what's underneath the tree. And they looked, they found an avodah zara underneath the tree. So he said, fine, so the tree is okay. It's the avodah zara that's going to be the problem. Okay.